말해. 난 니 봐. 난 저 귀신 가르쳐 버려. 난 나다 되냐. 양아지 단주기 류딘디게단 된차와다 제게 단주기 류딘 오시모 제제 아니 다와케나 조와 주사와 단주기 류딘디에세 데네 단주기 류딘디에네 된차와레 스텐텔야 탈바다 탐치현바다 난 제게 깨와치모 하다 미고 원토야 경원조 고원토야 안타바 탈비 고원토야 탐치기 미고 고원토야 람냠네 간데 제베나 제 투얘기다 電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んでいる。電車は進んで 계단 주고 주상화들이 제자다 뒤엔차와리 띵대려야 냠내 가르치는 지투고래 제자 디네게자 디링 디네게 토야리 빼 가와상와 야고 슈치해샤 제자 띵대려양이 안지 냠내 기림바디게 안지 야고 지인세비다 샘슈게야다 안지 뒤바게야디 디네시오 고래상한테 그생이다 뒤엔차와다 어디 톱과와 이미 금전으로 디네시는 슈치케신티 슈사로와다
Good evening. So we've completed a first portion of the text where we are about to start tonight, and the Tibetan starts with second major component of the text. So what we've just finished looking at is the recognition of this precious human rebirth that we have all attained. And to come to recognize just what a truly fortuitous opportunity we have achieved, when first was guided to come to recognize the 8 freedoms and 10 endowments that we've achieved, to recognize or identify that these freedoms and endowments, all 18, have been fully accomplished. Moreover, we looked at the great importance of having such a precious human rebirth marked by these freedoms and endowments, primarily that independent on this rebirth, we can cultivate within all the mental paths required to progress towards and eventually achieve either liberation from suffering or enlightenment itself. This is the great value of this life. But this life, though, the third outline, we should see is not something to take for granted, not something to see as ordinary, because it is so difficult to obtain. And we came to recognize that in different ways, one of which was through seeing how difficult it is to accumulate fully the causes that lead to such a precious human rebirth. Principally is the cultivation of excellent ethics, as well as the accompanying causes of generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance, as well as prayer. All of these are required to achieve this fully fledged human rebirth. So going through the meditations as we have for the last couple of months on this chapter, we come to recognize just truly how fortunate I am to have this opportunity. And a determination will arise not to let it go to waste, but to make the very most of what one has achieved. And this is to be reflected in how to train one's mind to make a concerted effort
to transform our very way of thinking. Ningbo de la Tebu, Ningbo de Yakbo, Ningbo Sendan, and the Dinani Yakbo de Sigura Yashwedim, Sisurwada, Chisan Tebu, Tebu Ningbo, Digi Q Ningbo, Sagura Ningbo Sale, Yakbo, Puitabo Yakbo Sigura, and the Beneda Chige 신도래네 띵기대와
The chapter we've just finished has these three primary outlines. So having reflected on them, firstly, coming to recognize that we've achieved all of the 18 freedoms and endowments. Secondly, recognize their great value. And thirdly, that because they are so difficult to obtain, we shouldn't see this life, this rebirth, as something ordinary, something to thereby take for granted. Rather, we should recognize just how valuable this life is, by seeing its potential. And by recognizing its potential, the fact that we recognize its potential is expressed by striving to take the essence or fulfill its potential. And that is the next part of the text we come to now, how to fulfill its very potential. So we don't have this in English, but it's the major section that one starts with now, how to fulfill the potential of achieving this life, or the Tibetan is literally how to take its essence. And taking its essence, fulfilling its potential, is expressed in the accumulation of the causes that will lead to the attainment of the potential that this life presents us. In other words, progressing towards the attainment of liberation and enlightenment. So the fulfillment of the potential of this precious human rebirth refers to striving to cultivate the causes that lead to the great results of liberation or enlightenment. And by doing so is an expression of our recognition of the value of what we've achieved, this precious human rebirth. So now turning to the text, so in the published book, it's on page 67, and in the handout, the e-book, it's on page 76. So the path of the three types of persons is the name of the chapter, or the full title in Tibetan of the chapter is how to practice the paths of the three types of persons. And this then starts with the way to take the essence of this life endowed with freedom, which has two points. Firstly, generating certainty with regard to the general presentation of the path. And secondly, the actual way of taking its essence. So that only comes right at the very end of the chapter.
Lamji namja la ngeba jeba la du da lamji namja nyamnen chi rimba de ngeba jeba sa da yakpo hao go wa si ur da karit nyamnen chi wo kane chi wo go be yakpo hao go ya di si ur ngeba jeba sa lamji da ne an lamjin chi ki nyamnen chi namja tel ya di
The first outline that we'll look at, generating certainty with regard to the general presentation of the path. The generating certainty refers to coming to understand or know very well that one has know very well the general presentation of the path. So generating certainty or understanding clearly. Therefore, so the full title of this chapter is How to Practice the Path of the Three Types of Persons. That is the very meaning of this chapter here. And by knowing this well, we will be able to take the essence or fulfill the potential of this precious human rebirth. This first outline then has two points. How all the Buddha's teachings are contained in the paths of the three types of persons, which is immediately below. In a couple of pages, it starts with the reason for its gradual guidance from the perspective of the three types of persons. Now, just to say now as a translator, there are two errors that in the written translation that's made throughout this chapter. So where we have this terminology, gradual guidance. So gradual is mistaken. You'll see it in other Lamrim texts. It should be either sequential or progressive or stages. So on the cover of the text, we have their stages. So in the Tibetan Lam Rim, this is the rims, the stages of the path. So it should be graduated, not gradual. This is a mistake made in other translations and throughout here. So where it says gradual later, just change it to stages or sequence or graduated. And then the word guidance isn't quite right. It's more explicitly a verb, as in to guide or to lead. So it's not, because guidance has the implication of being advice that you can choose to follow. That's not what's being done. One can rather have the image of the teacher taking the student by the hand and guiding them on the in how to cultivate the path within. Because to guide or to lead means to teach, and thereby guide the student how to cultivate the path within. So again, you'll see again and again this word guidance. Understand is really the verb, to guide or to lead. So those two errors are repeated a lot. The outline we have come to now, how all the Buddha's teachings are contained in the paths of the three types of persons. So the entirety of the Buddha Dharma is contained in this graduated sequence of trainings that are found within the three types of persons. It's an expression of the various means by which to achieve happiness and overcome suffering and problems. And it's presented in the various trainings that are shared with the practitioner of small or initial capacity, as well as thereafter, built on that, the training shared with the practitioner of intermediate or medium capacity. And then thirdly, the trainings which are unique to a practitioner of great capacity.
The teachings from the Buddha will have varying topics. Some of those topics will be within the context of how to cultivate the causes that lead to a further excellent rebirth. Other teachings from the Buddha, those topics will present how to cultivate the causes that lead to liberation from suffering. And thirdly, other topics of the Buddha's teachings lead to how to attain the omniscient state of enlightenment. Those three topics then will encompass the entirety of the Buddha's teachings. So in other words, the entirety of the Buddha's teachings are contained within the presentation of the three types of persons.
All the teachings of the Buddha are contained within the trainings associated with the three types of persons. And so therefore, one needs to start with the training shared with the practitioner of initial capacity. And independence on one's mind being developed through giving rise to those teaching, to that level of training within, then one is qualified to embark on the training shared with the practitioner of intermediate capacity. And when those have been cultivated within, then one has the sufficient basis to actually engage in the trainings of a person of great capacity. And these then, that entirety, the sequence of those of trainings associated with each of the three different types of persons is what encompass the graduated stages of the path to enlightenment, in other words, the Lam Rim. So that one needs to train in that specific sequence, starting at the beginning, progressing in a graduated stage, graduated manner throughout all the stages. This is established based on reasons. These reasons need to be well understood. Otherwise,
a practitioner will make the error of rather striving in what interests them, what they are drawn towards, rather than training in the correct sequence. If one trains in the correct sequence, the desired result will follow. So to encourage one to train in the correct sequence from the outset, reasons are presented. Turning to the text, how all the Buddha's teachings are contained in the paths of the three types of persons. Everything the Buddha did was only for the welfare of sentient beings, from generating the mind of enlightenment in the beginning, through collecting the accumulations in the middle, to manifesting complete Buddhahood at the end. Thus, all his Dharma teachings are only for accomplishing the welfare of sentient beings.
It's better to start with our second line, from generating the mind of enlightenment in the beginning. So the mind of enlightenment, or in Sanskrit, bodhicitta, this is referred to here as the beginning, because this is the point of entry. Uncontrived bodhicitta is the point of entry into the paths of the bodhisattva. And it's the paths of the bodhisattva that lead to the attainment of enlightenment, of Buddhahood. So to generate bodhicitta, one will have reflected intensely on one's own situation, recognizing the suffering that one is subjected to and its causes, and given rise to a determination to emerge from such suffering. But then, in addition to that, one lifts one's gaze from one's own suffering position and recognizes that all other ordinary beings are in exactly the same position, suffering in the same ways and for the same reasons. Then the practitioner intentionally strives through focusing on the situation of others to generate compassion for them, the deep yearning for them to be free of suffering and its causes, and develop love for them, wanting them to abide in lasting happiness. And then these two minds of compassion and love developing them to the point of wholehearted resolve, where the practitioner takes personal responsibility for fulfilling that aspiration. They take responsibility to guide beings to cultivate the transformation of their own minds so as to gain freedom from suffering and abide in lasting happiness. So this is the cultivation of wholehearted resolve. But the practitioner then recognizes that they are still too limited to actually fulfill that. they haven't yet, the practitioner hasn't even fulfilled their own needs, how can they really guide others successfully? The only being who really can do so perfectly is a Buddha. Then the determination comes. In order to help others gain freedom from suffering, I must become a Buddha. This then, when it's uncontrived, is the generation of actual bodhicitta. This is where the determination to become a Buddha comes from. Hence, it is presented as being the very beginning of the path to Buddhahood. And we have here the start of the Tibetan, from generating the mind of enlightenment in the beginning. Then at the beginning, having generated uncontrived bodhicitta and entered into the paths of the bodhisattva continues through the text continues through collecting the accumulations in the middle. This then refers to now being a bodhisattva. The bodhisattva will receive the vows of the bodhisattva, and in order to ensure they are protected well, will strive in the perfections. And being a bodhisattva, engaging the perfections means that they'll be practicing, for example, generosity in order to accumulate causes to become a Buddha, in order to help others evermore. And they'll practice ethical restraint and patience and joyous perseverance, concentration and wisdom, all conjoined with bodhicitta, hence perfections. And that means each of those practices they engage in order to benefit beings as well as to spiritually develop so that they can become a Buddha and help others evermore. And this is the process of accumulating virtue. The primary focus of the bodhisattva is on benefiting others. Their method of benefiting others is very vast, but this can be condensed down into the six perfections. So the six perfections are an expression of the wish to benefit others. Through expressing that, they accumulate vast stores of merit, all which helps them fulfill their intention of both benefiting others and progressing towards enlightenment.
Dinan ma tamje se do tamje simje koni do do yimbe se tamje se didi gang de bene jenji simbe tomar an tu kye ba tomar tu jenji simje tu kye ba ba do so sa ba mon ba so ba sang kye ba tamje se di di sul le go da de ji gang le an tu kye ba la ma do simje do do mo so ma so ba ji da tu kye ba da ba do so sa ba mon ba so ba sang kye ba tamje se di sum ga di sum ga da sang ma an simje koni do do re se.
The bodhisattva continues with the engaging in the acts of a bodhisattva leading to the accumulations, coming to then the conclusion of their training, which here is manifesting complete Buddhahood at the end. So this is then the attainment of Buddhahood, their long-sought goal. And the Tibetan then concludes with what we have at the beginning. Everything the Buddha did was for the welfare of sentient beings. This then was the overriding, this was the dominant motivation of the bodhisattva throughout their training, from the very initial stages, right throughout the middle, and then with the attainment of Buddhahood, this remained their motivation to benefit sentient beings, or to enact the welfare of sentient beings.
那三月三年，那三月去送吧的去送吧，他们这江是去送吧，他们这个就是去，但当别人啊这个，去过当不你吧送吧些，当俺这个，爹呀这去过送嘛对不对？就去金芒果送药的话，都别人爱过送啊，当爹那个就去芒果送药，吃上别人送吧的去，他们就送吧，他们这三斤宽的端住吧，接把我，就咱三斤宽那个端住吧，现在宽那是的。
The text continues. Thus, all the Buddha's Dharma teachings too are only for the accomplishing the welfare of sentient beings. Because having become a Buddha, as we see in the very first line, everything that the Buddha does was for the welfare of sentient beings. Now we see here, thus all his Dharma teachings too are only for the welfare of sentient beings. To the Tibetan, the beginning of the first line and the sentence, thus all his Dharma teachings, they follow after each other. So it makes it explicitly clear that every single teaching the Buddha gave, whether from the vast classes of sutra teachings or the classes of tantric teachings, all of them were solely done in order to benefit others. And we should understand then when it says, for the welfare of sentient beings, it means the focus is solely on others, in that the Buddha is not, or Buddhas are not counted among sentient beings. It is, so therefore, all the teachings are to help others. Lama Tsongkhapa then continues, that being so. So that being so refers to that every teaching the Buddha gave was to benefit others. That being so, the goal to be accomplished is the welfare of sentient beings, which has two levels. Yeah, has two levels. The temporary one of higher states. So this you'll know from elsewhere as higher status, but higher states is good. The temporary one of higher states, and the ultimate, well here final is perhaps better, the final one of definite goodness.
其实，咱心经给对应个的是的，心经过来给对应的，对应的是的，心经过来的第一句话的，心经过来的刚刚明白些，第一句话的，是吧？其实，心经对应的第一句话的，对应的是的，第一句话的，第一句话的，心经过来做了，开始过来是第一句话的，其实第一句话的了呀，原来的了呀，那个我多当是。
他都没来，是的，没来，是他把他他们这金表国王呢，定义掉的，是的，得做的，定义掉，做国王的。伊那在第那个，他把他们这金表国王托马的没来，马头被扒拉的了，那个是的，马头被扔掉了，那第一国王了，是的，第一国王是，俺送了几百呢，第一没办法，第俺送了他的钱呢，我这国王托马呢，我这个定掉了呀，俺这个，俺这那个，对，俺送了对呢。
对，俺送来对呢，就是也好多地基，这个路线地基也好重要啊，用过吧？咱主图有吧？咱就是那个先进的对，我这个是地基的，地基的了呢，那个比我这个国防，我这个国防都不点点了呀，地基用呀，地基只用过来是。嗯，对了，但你那个，你个是说的，原来是托马的定义的话，用来拆过的，就是第一嘛都用来嘛，而且，就是先进的地基的定义地基，其他。 定义的一码都不能，第二个定义，第二的一码都用来买了吧？现在的申请有端到主要第二的还是说的，那个不用。
What's been emphasized by Lama Tsongkhapa here is that everything the Buddha has done has been to fulfill the welfare or the needs of beings. And a way to, what is the need of beings, or what is it that beings, sentient beings long for? It's happiness. A state of being that is completely freed of problems, suffering, and difficulty. And in particular, the happiness that we all yearn for is lasting, uninterrupted happiness. Not just temporary happiness, but lasting, stable happiness. So this is what beings long for, and that lasting, stable happiness is the final one of definite goodness. So here, final is a better translation than ultimate, because it's a different word than, for example, an ultimate truth. And it's final as in long-term, as opposed to temporary, which we have at the beginning, or final or lasting. Lasting happiness of definite goodness. It is never interrupted by even a moment of suffering. But to attain such a state usually takes many lifetimes. Therefore, the Buddha also taught how to achieve temporary happiness. So this we had before, the temporary one of higher states. So higher states refers to the higher rebirths, which are more preferable than those of the lower rebirths, where there is at least some degree of temporary happiness. So this is temporary, particularly refers to the temporary happiness of the higher states as stepping stones to the attainment of the final or the long-lasting, uninterrupted happiness of definite goodness.
Tablam Sunshago, Netar Tardu Tamjikim, Sanyo Bantoyagi, Tablam Sunshago, Yamnijimba Sunshago, Yan Yan, Sanji Chuson, Jesna, Dimado, Shanai, Sanji Chuson, Dina, Dinich, Dendal Masumba, Sanji Chukayo, Maresulta.
So, therefore, the entirety of the teachings that the Buddha gave were to achieve one or both of these goals. The temporary one of higher status, and the final one of definite goodness. So there are these two levels or two divisions to the goal to be accomplished for sentient beings. You know, the goal or the welfare, it's the same word, to be accomplished for sentient beings has these two types, that of the temporary happiness of higher states or the lasting happiness of definite goodness.
Sanji Yusunya Chuk and Sumbena Tardu Miudis, Sanji, Tartu Badi, Semjan Tamja, Sanju Govantoya, and the Sunday Yanjas. She's not down to give Chungu, Lamji Rimbaji, Namjati, Semjali, Sungu Vene, Mosuda, give Chungu Lamji Rimba, Gonyamnaji, the Giochimal, Mundio Govantoya, Dandala, Lam Yamlin, Nijimbaji Sungorwa, in a Tardu Digasan, Sanju Govant, that you call.
The goal to be accomplished for the welfare of sentient beings has these two divisions. Really, the Buddha only has a focus on one of them, and that is to lead beings to attain the final state of enlightenment, of Buddhahood itself. But, and that is the case even where
the teachings are explicitly about achieving temporary happiness of higher status, of higher states, of a good rebirth. You could maybe express it as, at the back of the Buddha's mind is the long-sighted view of, through guiding beings to achieve further good rebirths, I will then be able to guide them further to achieve enlightenment. So the actual goal of the Buddha is to guide beings to cultivate the causes within that lead to their own enlightenment. But recognizing that this will take lifetimes, the Buddha often explicitly taught the trainings associated with achieving further good rebirths so that the practitioner can continue for lifetimes progressing towards the attainment of the final state, the state of enlightenment. So now continuing to the next paragraph, which now presents how to go about achieving higher realms or further excellent rebirths. All the teachings that pertain to accomplishing the first level are included in the cycle of Dharma teachings for the person of genuine or actual lesser spiritual capacity, or that is shared in common with a person of lesser capacity. All the teachings that pertain to accomplishing the first levels. The first level refers to then of the three types of persons. This is the first of the three types, a person of small or initial capacity, are included in the cycle of Dharma teachings for the person of genuine lesser spiritual capacity. So that's one. Or that is shared in common with a person of lesser capacity. So someone of genuine lesser spiritual capacity differs from the second type that is shared in common with the person of lesser capacity. So someone of genuine lesser capacity can also be called someone of lesser spiritual capacity alone. So in other words, they are engaging in these trainings, they are engaged in these practices of training their mind, only for the goal associated with a practitioner of initial capacity, in other words, to achieve a good rebirth. That is their motivation. They want to achieve a further good rebirth. They don't want to fall into the lower realms in their next life. And that is their motivation, and that is their motivation alone for engaging in the practices of in the trainings of a practitioner of initial capacity. So their motivation is just to get a good rebirth. Hence, they are someone of genuine lesser spiritual capacity or an actual lesser spiritual capacity. The second type that is shared in common with a person of lesser capacity, this refers to someone who has the greater goal of full and complete enlightenment. But they know that in order to eventually achieve that goal of enlightenment, they need to engage in those same trainings, those that are shared in common with a person of lesser capacity. So the trainings between these two types of practitioners are the same. What is vastly different is their motivation for engaging in them. That first type is just looking for a good rebirth. The second type is engaging in those practices which are in common, but for a very different motivation, to achieve enlightenment. To look at the genuine lesser spiritual capacity, the person of genuine lesser spiritual capacity. So this practitioner can be referred to in two ways. One, exactly as in the text here, or it can be called someone of mere lesser spiritual capacity, or this word mere can be translated as only or alone. So someone of lesser spiritual capacity alone. So that's a different way to say someone of genuine lesser spiritual capacity. So we may hear that it's said differently. This person will have come to recognize, based on teachings just like you've been receiving over the last few months, that this life that we've achieved is quite remarkable. Independence on causes that I've accumulated in past lives, causes of the ethical restraint of restraining my body and speech, as well as practicing generosity, patience, joy, perseverance, and making prayer. Through all those causes, I've achieved these 8 freedoms and 10 endowments. This rebirth, which has such great value because it can achieve similar causes again to ensure another good rebirth. But this rebirth is not to be taken for granted because it was achieved with difficulty. All those causes had to be accumulated. Therefore, I must ensure that in this life I have as if my focus to restrain my physical and verbal behavior and thereby be ethical, to practice generosity again, to be patient again, as in previous lives, so to rejoice, perseverance, and make prayer. So in this way, achieve causes that will lead to further excellent rebirths, further precious human rebirths. So those are the practices that this person recognizes they've engaged in the past, in past lives, and must engage in again in this life for the purpose of, or for the goal of, ensuring that in their future rebirths, they once again achieve higher status, or that rebirth in the higher realms, or rebirth as a human or God. That and that alone is the motivation, though. The motivation is only as far as next life. But those practices are those same 5. But their motivation is solely to achieve a further good rebirth. So when such a genuine lesser spiritual, a person of genuine lesser spiritual capacity has as when their determination for further good rebirths is uncontrived, in other words, they don't need to intentionally generate it, it spontaneously arrives, then they are suitable to be called a practitioner of genuine spiritual capacity who is engaging in the path of a practitioner of small capacity. So when such a person, so the key distinction Geshe is making now is that their determination is uncontrived. Then that when they engage in ethics, generosity, and so forth, they are engaging in the path of a practitioner of small capacity. What needs to be said, though, whilst this is called a path of small or initial capacity, it is not an actual path. It is, etymologically named a path. It's merely called a path, but it's not an actual mental path. But when their motivation is uncontrived, then they are and their practices are those of a path of small capacity, although it's not an actual path, merely called the path.
Dinyamlin di chiyo, dinyamlin di chiyo pala, dina galdi gresene, kibu chung kasung
This term we often hear, path, is used because it is what links from a current position to a desired position. So if one was wanting to go from here to Melbourne, one would go via, well, we wouldn't say path, we'd then say road, but we'd go via road to Melbourne. That road is the means by which we achieve our desired destination of Melbourne. So the word, unfortunately, in Tibetan for path and road is the same. But if one has this motivation to arrive at the destination of a further good rebirth, the means by which one goes from this rebirth to another good rebirth is by embarking on a journey along a particular path. Here, though, paths refer to mental states, of course. So by cultivating mental states or paths, that is the means by which one arrives at the desired objective or destination.
sungsa gansa kaha, miyu kaha, chaba zan, ane jige di jivu chungu da tumo alam yire. Denige sungye ge sung di, da chue di tumo ve chokor sarwa. Jizan tumo ve chokor sarwa. Kasan chiwa tsurim sungya jimba soba zonri di jivu chungu zamgi da di nyamna jivu kore. Kona ya dada nyamna jivu, niga ge nyamna jivu ba jikba yin za, nyamna jivu jikba za tumo wa asar. Jizan tumo ve chokor. Denige lamgi, Yamden Jagita, Horongi, Dinin Yamden Jag, Rimbachorova, Jim Sudim Soya, Jimbataya, Sube, Yamden Jag, and Sundu Sumya, and Molam Jag, Yorova, Chiwa Mitava Samda, Lamdi, Yamden Rimbachorova, and D, Givu Chungo, the Tumo Lamdi Rimbazo, Givu Chungo, the Tumo Lamdi, Lamres, or the
So we have here, so read. From this paragraph again, from the beginning, all the teachings that pertain to accomplishing the first level are included in the cycle of Dharma teachings for the person of genuine lesser spiritual capacity. So that person, we've now spoken about. So now to talk about the second type of person. So also but referring to the same cycle of Dharma teachings. So the second type of person is that is shared in common with a person of lesser capacity. So this refers to the trainings which are shared with a practitioner of lesser or initial capacity. So such a person has a very different motivation from the person just described, the person of genuine lesser spiritual capacity. Their motivation was just to achieve a good rebirth. But someone who has heard far more teachings and been touched by those teachings, inspired by those teachings, and wants to give rise to the goals that we had above it of definite goodness. And as we'll see later in the text, definite goodness is of two types. One is that of liberation from samsara, or full and complete enlightenment. Both are included in definite goodness. So a practitioner who has the final goals of the Dharma, the goals of lasting happiness as their objective, but is starting out on their training, this is where they start, with the trainings which are shared with the practitioner of initial capacity. So these two types of persons have very different motivations. How they get to this point is also quite different. What is exactly the same, though, are the particular trainings. So their motivation, that hopefully is clear, that is very different. How they got to this point is also different, in that the person who is engaging in the trainings shared with a practitioner of initial capacity, they know or have heard much more Dharma. Hence, they have given rise to the goal of liberation or enlightenment. Not necessarily they've heard much more Dharma, but they've been touched by that Dharma, and therefore they have a deep wish to achieve liberation and enlightenment. That is their actual goal that they are striving for. But they are not, where they are in their training is right here, is engaging in the trainings which are common or shared with a person of initial or lesser capacity. And these are the same trainings we've just heard before. Engaging in the ethical restraint of abandoning non-virtuous physical and verbal behavior, engaging in generosity, patience, joyous perseverance, and making excellent prayers. All of these are done with the greater motivation, the motivation of either liberation from the sufferings of samsara or full and complete enlightenment. So the motivation is different, but their trainings are the same. And the key point, further key point to understand, the reason why this practitioner, despite having this great goal of liberation or enlightenment as their objective, the reason why they are training here in these practices which are shared with a practitioner of initial capacity is so that they can develop the strength and skill of mind that is suitable to progress in the graduated sequence of trainings.
Because by focusing on these trainings, their mind will become broad and expansive. They will be not overwhelmed anymore by common problems, common pleasures, but their mind will be focused on the Dharma. That training, developing the mind to be focused on the Dharma, starts here. First, one reflects on this precious human rebirth, reflecting, I have achieved all these freedoms and endowments. I have the potential, that's the first outline. The second outline, I have the potential with this rebirth to achieve liberation or enlightenment. I must not let it go to waste. I mustn't be like a traveler to an island of jewels who leaves empty-handed. I mustn't be like an animal following my desires and so forth, those illustrations from that outline. But I mustn't also take this life for granted. It was difficult to obtain, so few have it. So that foundation, what we've just been hearing, is where the practitioner who has a yearning for liberation or enlightenment starts to train. And they will build on with that, with the trainings that are to come. So therefore, such a practitioner will meditate on their precious human rebirth, as well as ethics, generosity, patience, a joyous perseverance, and making prayer, but with a goal of enlightenment. And again, this is of great importance to do, even if you have a goal of enlightenment, so as to develop a mind that is focused on the Dharma, a mind that does not get absorbed in mundane affairs, but easily lets them go.
And that is not long to give Chung a lam said, and give Chung the Tumo a lam said, a cabaruchi did it was just that give Chung lam said, that Gansa, Yamlinch and Gansa Koron, give a chima, Tada Muko want some, one do go want some matto, Tarba the Hamjiki Moko want to a dunder, dunyan mevache, one do go want some to a dunder near Gene, that Jimbatan, Sutim, Serva, Dundu, the Niki Yamlinch, the Yamlindela. Give chungulam, says Rada, that give chungulam, said Dinichi, Dela, that give chungulam, Gansa, Kurong, Dinigi, Gansa, you get the Yamlik Limbatella, give chungulam, sir. That give woody, Gansa, Kurong, Gida, give a chicket tarbata, Tamji came to Kovan, that the Kurong, Lam, Yuliki, Menaya, Kurong, and Yana, Tabigo want to yak to near your bache, Yana, Tamji came to Kovan to yak to near your bache. D Tobiag Dunier Jane that ding Yamlin T Tobiag Yamlin Chicken Sampi Sam Dang you do Dini Yamlin Chig Kuno Yoba Chila and D Dundala and Dambo and the Chigi Mitapa Kasutachi Twin Chiawata and the Chigi Mitapa Kasuri Chiwa Mitapa Sam Daya Dini Churmusoya Jimba Sava Sundu and Odushan and Yamlin Chiadi Yeda Kivu Chung the Tumo Lams. Lam, Missy, or the Kuno, Gansa, Korongi, Gansa, Gansa, Korongi, Tarbi, Govan, Toya, Dunyu, Dumba, Yoba, Yana, Tamjikim, Govan, Toya, Dunyu, Dumba, Yoba, Dinigi, Dumba, Yubi, Tony, Yamnaje, Shagins, and Mew, Dinisha, and the Chimbata, Gasu, the Chimbata, Children, Suba, Junior, Yamnaje, Dimbadida, Kibuchung, the Tumo, Lam, said, Dushin, Dangan, Kibuchung, Lamna, Kibuchung, the Tumo, Lam, said, Dusiawa, said, that Dushin, Ridwa.
In conclusion, or to conclude this point, to look at the similarity and the differences between these two types of practitioners of initial capacity. So someone who is a person of genuine lesser spiritual capacity, they will have a determination to ensure that they achieve another good rebirth, just like this. They've come to value and recognize and value this rebirth and are determined to ensure another excellent rebirth. So that is their motivation. And this is a strong and abiding motivation, not just a fleeting thought, but a strong and abiding motivation. And with that, they engage in the five trainings of reflecting on this. Or in addition to reflecting on the precious and human rebirth, they reflect on ethical restraint, restraint of one's body and speech, generosity, patience, joyous perseverance, and prayer. So those are their trainings. The practitioner who has a far greater goal of liberation or enlightenment, the two types of definite goodness, they have this far vaster motivation. But in order to actually achieve that goal, they need to establish the right foundation. They need to develop a mind that is focused on the Dharma, and to do so, they start training here by reflecting on their precious human rebirth through those three outlines of recognizing that the eight freedoms and ten endowments have been achieved, and that these have the great value of being able to achieve liberation or enlightenment based on this very precious human rebirth, but that this was something difficult to achieve, and it was difficult to achieve from both the perspective of causes and result. Then, having done that meditation, they then, in that meditation, meditate on the same five practices: ethical restraint, of restraining one's physical and verbal behavior; generosity, patience, joy, perseverance, and prayer. So with both of these practitioners, the meditation's the same: reflection on precious human rebirth, and then those five practices. Those five practices which create the causes for further good rebirth. But their motivation for doing so is vastly different. So this then is the difference between a person of genuine lesser capacity and a person that is shared in common with a person of lesser capacity.
tarpa thoku kudus, tamche kime sanye kuma sayate ngay toye kale khabur ye, dide top tusa maare. Na tarpa sayate koryo dunga tarku kudu, tarpa kong nyomongpa sabo na cheba pangpe pangpa, tarpa da thoku kudu sanpeke tarpa dunyer yoye bache, ina lam gyula kimea bache, chesan dini ki dunyer yoye digan gansa chikli ya, ani dati kibu chungyo lam jimba da chiwa mita pa kumya, denjyo lu dunyan chawa da nye gawa, dide kumya,코에
To speak briefly on the difference between the two types of motivations relating to definite goodness. So that has the two, one of liberation, one of enlightenment. So for the practitioner who's engaging in the training shared with the practitioner of initial capacity, they will have one of these two as their objective, as their goal: liberation or enlightenment. So those who have liberation as their goal, they will consider enlightenment as just being too difficult, as something that requires far too much time and effort, but their own liberation they see as very achievable and what they will strive for. So liberation refers to having reflected on the sufferings of samsara in detail, coming to recognize there is nothing pleasurable worth striving for in samsara. There's no happiness that's worth striving for as long as one remains bound in samsara, because that happiness will never last. Also, one recognizes that one only experiences suffering in samsara, and the suffering comes from our afflictions and contaminated karma. And recognizing that when one gains freedom from one's afflictions and contaminated karma, one gains freedom from suffering, liberation from suffering, liberation from samsara. That is their goal, and they strive for that. And to have a sufficient mind that is focused solely on the Dharma, that is not distracted by life's meaningless affairs, they engage in these practices. They reflect on the precious human rebirth and then meditate on ethics, generosity, patience, joyous perseverance, and make prayer. The other type of goal of from definite goodness, that of enlightenment, the practitioner has gone through the same meditations on recognizing the sufferings of samsara and the causes of the sufferings of samsara, and given rise to that wish to gain freedom from their own afflictions together with their seeds. But they don't see the attainment of enlightenment as too difficult, as too much hard work. That is where they differ from that other type of practitioner of a definite goodness. What they see as difficult is leaving others behind while they strive for their own interest. They recognize, or they see, how can I pursue my own interest whilst ignoring others? This is what they see as difficult. So therefore, they want to become Buddhas for the sake of others. But in order to have a mind focused on the Dharma, a mind, again, not overcome by worldly concerns, they engage in these trainings, reflect on their precious human rebirth, then on ethics, generosity, patience, joyous perseverance, and prayer. To talk a little further on this expression, trainings shared with a practitioner of initial capacity. So this term shared or common, in common, the way we use it in society is that term is the same as is used here. So two people can have an object in common, or they can share an object. They can share a car or have the use of a particular car in common. So they both say, yes, that's the car I use. And the two of us, we share this car or we have it in common. So this is the way the word share or in common is used in society. And that's the same here. But what misunderstanding to avoid is that a practitioner or a person who's engaging in the trainings shared with a practitioner of initial capacity, they are not cultivating a path of initial capacity. So they may be engaging in the trainings shared with a practitioner of initial capacity, but they're not cultivating a path of initial capacity. They are sharing they are engaging in common practices or practices they have in common with someone of initial capacity. But they themselves are not cultivating a path of initial capacity. So for them, So for those who are engaging in the training shared with the practitioner of initial capacity, they are not generating an actual path of initial or lesser capacity. So then tonight, we looked at how all of the Buddha's teachings are included within the teachings that pertain to the three types of persons, those of initial, intermediate, and greatest capacity. And another way to look at it, that all the teachings are direct from the Buddha, all of them were directed towards the attainment of the two goals, that of higher states or definite goodness. And whilst all the Buddha's teachings are directed towards the attainment of those two goals, it really comes down to the one, that of enlightenment. But all of the Buddha's teachings then we see are included here. And then moreover, we looked at, that was that first paragraph, then in the second, we looked at the two types of practitioner of initial capacity. And we had the person of actual lesser spiritual capacity and the person shared in common, or the training shared in common with a person of lesser capacity. So hopefully the difference between those two is also clear. Okay, then thank you very much.